My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Mišić's gonna have to hurry. Bogdanović puts it up. Short. And the United States, trailing by as many as 17, back from underneath the grave, advance to the gold medal game. 95-91, your final score. Steph Curry, magnificent. 36 points and heartbreak for Serbia.
Man, what a finish to game on USA in the Olympics. Team USA in the semifinals comes from behind, beats Serbia, which I refuse to believe that's how they actually spell Serbia.
How do you think they spell it?
S-E-R-B-I-A, like everybody else in the world. Not S-R-B-J-A, but whatever. I just refuse to believe that's how they actually
the
spell
J's
it.
The J's silent, I think.
Thank you, Peyton.
Peyton Russell, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
I know that's how they actually spell it. I just refuse to believe that's actually a language. You can't put S, R, and B together. Three straight letters. That's just...
Oh, yeah. That's like the Chance the Rapper bit on SNL when he was having to be... He's the NBA reporter who got assigned to cover hockey for a day. And he says, turn around, what's your name? Let me see. That's a S, a J, and a K all next to each other. So that's a no. Like I'm not even going to try to say what this is.
95-91 U.S. wins. This was a flurry of a finish.
Yeah.
And I got to say, for all the hate that Kevin Durant gets, the dude is like, he's without, I don't think there's a question anymore. Like, he's the best Olympian from a basketball standpoint that we've had.
He just passed Lisa Leslie as the all-time leading scorer in the Olympics.
There you go.
So.
And he passed Melo. Like, Melo had this great Olympian kind of mantra to him. And KD's got that now. I think it's KD's title.
Yeah, and look, I mean,
Steph was great. LeBron was really good.
Embiid made plays down the stretch. They were down 17 in this game. It did not look like they were going to win this one. And then KD with the big shot late to kind of ice it. But I think, I've said before, I think KD gets too much hate. I understand it's easy, but it feels like low-hanging fruit a lot of times. And I think that he's matured a lot. Like, I think in recent years when you hear him talk about some things or the way he handled those fans at the Mavericks game that were shouting at him, I respect him more than I may have 10 years ago. I think he's grown into it a little bit. But I mean, KD was fantastic. I know after the game he was talking about, hey, I know there's a lot to look at sometimes in the day-to-day life of like our country and think, oh, this is bad or there's that. He's like, but there's a lot of good stuff too. And like today was a good thing. And today was something fun to celebrate.
Yeah, it was.
And as Anthony Davis said after the game, Chop, he said, got two words, Stephen Curry and Joel Embiid.
Well, that is five words. But look, I mean, Steph was tremendous. He was tremendous. Two clutch free throws on the stretch. With what, 8 seconds to go? A terrible decision on Serbia's coach to wait that long to foul. Then, like, oh, let's just foul the best free throw shooter of like all time. Let's just file him.
Just do that.
But let's just wait this thing out. I have to say, though, like, it is the most, the biggest winner of this is Joker, right?
So there was a thought like this yesterday.
He was gassed at the end, by the way.
He was, and he did not shoot well yesterday. He shot, what, 7 of 17? He was 0 of 6 from 3. But he did, he had, you know, 11 assists.
Yeah, he had like a dozen assists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He played, you know, a bunch of rebounds. I mean, he played really well.
Damn near a triple-double. And as a Denver radio host tweeted yesterday and had to go all sorts of crazy, Zach Bye, he says,
bye, boy.
Not one member of the Serbian national basketball team would make Team USA's roster other than Jokic. Even in a loss, it's almost a mic drop moment for the Joker when it comes to the best player in the world conversation. Can you get down with this line of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Luka vibe to this, like, and a Dirk vibe when he was with Germany. Like,
get him some help.
Yeah. That absolutely, man. Like, that is, for them to even be in that game, like, Team USA should not be, like, excited that they won. Like, be happy that you won, but they shouldn't be, like, that's a team of, I mean, everybody on that team is, with the exception of Halliburton, is already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and Tatum.
Tatum's already a Hall of Famer.
Tatum can't even get on the floor, Chop.
Yeah, that was Steve Kerr's fault. You cannot make a case.
What do you mean fault? It was a great decision. They won.
Was it a great decision? Because the guy he chose to put in over him, Derek White, did nothing. Has done nothing. How do you play Derek White when you're down double digits in the second half? Don't get me fit.
I don't know. Who's his shoe deal with?
Yeah, right? Don't get me fit. Like, Jason Tatum's a better player than Derek White. You can't make that argument. You can't even make the argument.
Boy, that is becoming a bubbling storyline, though.
It kind
of
is.
Just like, the idea of, like, boy, there seems to be a, like, some, I know I made this comparison during the finals. Like, he's a little Russell Wilson-like. Tatum is. And I wonder if there's just a,
yeah,
I wonder if other players just don't like him very much.
Very well
possible.
Or if
Kerr doesn't like him.
Very possible.
Because he can be a little off-putting sometimes. Yes. But also, like, when you think about skill sets, like, and you watch Tatum play, like, we watch the NBA Finals, and even if you think he's strong, whatever, like, the skill set is not jaw-dropping like it is with other top players.
No, he's an all-around good basketball player. He's good.
Nothing about it looks spectacular when you watch Jason Tatum
play. He's not like, you know, like KD, KD on that the possession, the final possession that they scored on where he had that big bucket. Like, that's just, you know, KD is a, like, he's a unicorn. Like, he really is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he does things that are just special. Now, that's not Tatum's game. He's a good passer. He's a good ball. I mean, he could shoot, but he's not great at anything. Like, he's not elite at anything. He's just a really good, sound basketball
player. Just the most boring elite basketball player in the world.
Yeah, he's easily a top 10 player in the league. But, like, I don't know that I'm paying to watch Jason Tatum play.
No.
Right, like I think that you would want him on your team. He's going to be a good teammate. He's going to be a good player. He'll fit in any system. But I just don't think he's not special. Special.
He might be the fifth most exciting player on his team, behind Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, and Peyton Pritchard.
But man, like, dude, that's a bad look for Team USA to struggle to beat that team.
Yeah, Serbia has a population of 6 million people.
Yeah, and that's probably the 25th most populated state.
And they, I mean, goodness, they are, like, the number of NBA players, I don't know that there's a better,
I know,
NBA players per capita.
Yeah.
Than
they got a half a dozen of them.
Than Serbia.
More than
I
that.
I mean, that's where, that's Bogdanovic and Jokic, Peja was from there. Who else was from there? I can't remember who else, but I mean, they've had several Serbian basketball players over the years.
So that's Team USA wins. Now they face France. And France is probably, I mean, I don't think Adam Silver could have asked for anything more
than to get France.
I think that absolutely is what they wanted, because you get Wemby.
Well, not
and
just
now Wemby has not played tremendous. He has not shot the ball well. I think he's like 7 for his last like 26 or something.
Not just Wemby. You get the most hateable player in the NBA.
Oh, Rudy Gobert.
If he plays. And he had the same thing happen. Did you see that? France benched him.
Yeah.
They've got a Tatum situation over there where they just, it was, now he's been banged up. He had a finger injury or something like that. But Gobert, they said afterwards, it was like, no, it was a lineup thing. It was just a matchup thing. And you know, it can be tough for big guys like Gobert to be able to fit naturally into some of these matchups in today's NBA. We saw it with Luka at the end of the year and the way that he crossed him up when there was like isolate on Gobert and just go to work on him. But yeah, Rudy Gobert got benched in France's. It was in order to, the headline was France saves its playoff run by benching Gobert. That's got to be a tough one to swallow.
Yeah, are the two first and second overall pick on this on the France team? Did they make the team? Are they good enough? Sar and Richesay?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I've not studied France's roster.
I have not.
I've not done that yet. But
boy, people are not happy. They're saying we got to give Serbia their props. Like they're a good team. Are they a good team? They're a 15.5 point underdog.
No, I mean they're 15.5 point underdog against a team of all stars. Right, so I get that. But
they're a good team, but they're not. They should not
have been up 17 on.
They should not have been within 17 at any point in that game. You're playing that the Team USA has 12 or 11 Hall of Famers. Serbia has one. Like, you should not be remotely close. It should not be remotely close of a game.
We talked about the Jokic thing there. Mm-hmm. There was another tweet from the other side of it. You know how there's been this discussion about Embiid is ducking Jokic from playing Jokic in Denver? Like, coincidentally, it seems like every time Philly's in Denver, Embiid's hurt. Or, Embiid can't play. And a lot of people think he's running from him. So one of the tweets that went viral yesterday said Denver fans have been begging Embiid to play Jokic outside of Philly for years. Got Jokic against him in an environment where Joel got booed on every touch and had to watch him saute their guy once again. There's no defending that though, right? Like that's not the same as going into Denver and playing Jokic.
So does Embiid have this this history of absolutely destroying Jokic?
He's had good performances against Jokic in Philly, but it's not necessarily been consistent. And there were a lot of people who thought it was connected to the MVP race. During the MVP race where Embiid won it and a lot of people thought Jokic should have been given it,
right.
People thought he was ducking those games against Embiid. And then past year, he didn't show up for the Denver game. And so I don't know that that's putting it on a level of a French crowd booing you is the same as stepping up in a big primetime NBA game and performing against Jokic. But that's the way they wanted to put it. That's fine. Choppy, did you see the announcement yesterday about the Christmas Day NBA schedule?
I did. I did see this.
And you have a problem with it?
I don't have a problem with it. I was just a little bit, because the Mavs are playing Minnesota.
Yeah. So the NBA Christmas Day games that we got are, according to Shams, Spurs at Knicks, Timberwolves at Mavericks, 76ers at Celtics, Lakers at Warriors, Nuggets at Suns. So I thought this was as good of a matchup in terms of sex appeal storylines that you could get for Dallas. I thought this was the one. And you felt different.
I would have thought, I would have preferred Boston. I would have like, oh, NBA Finals rematch. Let's do that. Like that would have been to me, okay, now we got like that. That to me is the sexiest. If they were, read those again, because I think they are keeping them conference to conference.
Spurs at Knicks. That's
nope,
not.
Never mind.
76ers Celtics. But 76ers are going to be considered the big challenger, especially after they went and got
Paul
George.
They are. Absolutely. I have much more intrigue of Oklahoma City than Minnesota.
But didn't really.
Yes. I think because isn't the common thought right now that like we knew Oklahoma City was good. I knew Oklahoma City was going to lose the Mavericks because the Mavs had already been in a position of making it to the conference finals. Oklahoma City had, it was their first playoff run. They had never been there before. History of the league shows that they were going to bow out early. Like, to me, Oklahoma City is clearly the team in the West that most people are probably going to pick.
Yeah, I think I look at it and I say, already got the, if you want to talk about storylines, there was a lot of animosity that seemed to build up between Minnesota and Dallas. And there's the Anthony Edwards factor, which he is their star. Like that's you could make an argument that in terms of the stars of the league, the future is Luka and Ant. That's the future in terms of like the faces of just, these are the guys that we're pushing forward. And with a new media rights still coming, like getting that. All right, we got him in the Western Finals. Awesome. Let's keep this going. Let's keep this tension building. Let's keep this narrative going. Let's put Minnesota and Dallas on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. The one angle I would have flipped on this actually, but nobody wants to go to Minnesota in December, is I might have said Christmas Day, Dallas goes to Minnesota. Because then you're getting that crowd just, when they got to the point they were hating Luka, you're getting the opportunity for Luka, who was talking a ton of trash to Minnesota throughout that series. You get the chance on Christmas Day for the, here's Luka coming back to Minnesota.
That's true. But on the flip side of that is like, you know, the Mavs won. They earned the right to have this game at home.
That's fine.
They won the series. It's just like the Cowboys going to San Francisco every year.
How many teams would you...
San Fran earns the right by beating the Cowboys to get the Cowboys in San Fran.
How many teams would you have put above Minnesota as a better storyline for you? Three. Just like a national like game?
Three. Boston, Oklahoma City, Denver.
Denver just feels... As good as they are, Denver feels kind of boring to me. And Minnesota, you could say, is maybe a little boring too. They're a smaller market, everything else. But it's Ant. And Ant is the guy that they're going to push forward as like... This is our Ant's this is our
not
character.
Boring. Yeah, Ant's not boring. I think the issue is like the Timberwolves, like they've got this, I mean, they have zero history.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they've got one of the guys who is the 25 greatest athletes of the 21st century.
Kevin
Garnett.
Yeah, they have zero history. So they just do nothing for me. But yeah, I get it. I mean, it's a tremendous player. And he'll be, I mean, I think that, you know, he is eventually going to be the face of the league, because I do think the face of the league probably is going to lean towards being an American.
Face of the league is not always best player either.
It's not. I think the face of the league is going to be an American regardless of whether they're the best player or not. But I'm okay with it. I just think that Boston would have been a much better matchup or Denver OKC. That would have been sexier.
I think those would be better games. This to me just seems like from a storyline perspective, if you want eyes, that would be the more interesting one.
All right, it is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we are going to touch on this absolute tragedy that happened yesterday in Fort Worth. That's next in The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, recap the Rangers' visit to the White House. They were invited there, Bobby, because they won the World Series last year.
They did. I heard about that.
As is customary, you go to the White House, and they did. And now they will take on the Yankees in a 3-game set in New York. I assume they're going to play today. I don't know. Like, it's raining, and it's been raining there for like a week because of the hurricane. So maybe they do, maybe they don't. But they have a 3-game set. You can hear every game right here on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, Fan Bowl is tomorrow at Hurtado Barbecue in Arlington, right off Front Street. Check-in begins. So if you've registered already, check-in is at 1 o'clock. If you haven't registered, well, we're full. There's no more spots available, but that doesn't mean that you can't come and A, maybe you're being alternate because somebody drops out, doesn't make it, or just party with us.
Mm-hmm.
Just party and hang out.
That's the biggest thing. It's just going to be about the party more than anything else. Yeah.
So check-in starts around 1 o'clock. The party will get going 2:30. We'll be there, you know, till about 7, hanging out. I'll be coming in hot after my son's basketball game. Yep. So I'll get there 3:30-ish, maybe 4 o'clock, and then we'll have a round table set up. We'll be able to go on the air. Bobby will probably be hammered by then and say something inappropriate.
I mean, you'll be hammered by then, too, I imagine.
I mean, I can be.
Doesn't take much.
I mean,
first thing in the door, you and I are doing shots, okay?
As long as I get to pick kind of shots we have.
Sure.
Yeah. None of those, Bobby, you shoot bad stuff. You shoot bad stuff.
What does that mean?
You shoot stuff that should be sipped on.
I just shoot things with high alcohol content, typically. That's how I do it.
This is a very sad story. So yesterday, boy, this is terrible. So this is a little pet peeve of mine. On ESPN, you know how they do the byline?
Mm-hmm.
It says Dallas, Texas.
Oh.
Like, this was in Fort Worth. Like, come on now. Like, Fort Worth's a real, like, it's a real city.
Yeah, the catch-all.
Yeah, come on now. What are we doing? So they're having the CrossFit Games over at Marine Creek Lake, which I don't know much about. It's not really, like, it's not a lake that you generally see boats out on. It's very small. So they had the CrossFit Games out there, and they were competing in a swimming event. And this was early in the morning. They got a call that there was a missing competitor, that someone had gone under. And they did a fire department. So the MedStar does all the medical, like the EMS stuff, in the Fort Worth area. And so MedStar was on site. The fire department wasn't necessarily on site yet. Then they had to. Then they came on site to go and do the search and rescue. So they get out there, and they found him. And it was a 28-year-old from Serbia, Lazar Dukic, who passed away. They had not yet listed the cause of death as of late last night and this morning. But an official with the Fort Worth Police Department or Fire Department said they got a call around 8 a.m. Like I said, to assist police. Because there was a participant in the water that was down and hadn't been seen in some time.
Yeah, and I know somebody who was actually out there yesterday and was around. And so I'm not going to repeat it, but I think they told me what the conversation was going on out there as the explanation for it. And it sounds like it was, like, without getting specific, it just sounds like there was a medical emergency that occurred and while in the water, and then things went sideways. But I mean, that's awful. I mean, this is somebody who was like this was not some rookie just jumping in there and do this. This is somebody who is very familiar with this sort of thing.
So the event was a 3.5-mile run, and then an 800-meter swim. 10,000 people were in the area, for the games, which began Thursday and were set to run through Sunday. This competitor played water polo and was an athlete ambassador for FitAid, which is a sports drink brand, in Europe. And this was if you're at the CrossFit Games, you are an elite athlete.
Yeah,
you are in tip top shape. It's very, very sad, and now they have postponed. The rest of the games. This is a huge deal for Fort Worth because the CrossFit Games had been in like Wisconsin for a long time and Fort Worth got them. And look, it's a billion degrees outside right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, and I'll be in Michigan next week at Gaylord, Michigan, for my annual golf getaway, GaylordGolfMecca.com. And
hell of a time for your plug.
We don't need to do that, Peyton. Well, we're doing a death dedication here. I'm just saying, I'll be going to Michigan and the weather up there is like 70 degrees, and in Wisconsin's like the same thing. But you come down here, they're running the event at 7-8 o'clock in the morning because it's 105 degrees outside by noon. It's just a different animal these competitors are having to deal with.
Which the CrossFit Games they postponed everything yesterday. They are going to pick back up and continue today.
They are going to do today.
And there's a lot of people going off on it right now that's saying, oh, money valued over life once again. And so they're picking them back up out there in Fort Worth. They will be continuing later today. They'll continue the CrossFit Games. But, man, it's...
Yeah, because as of last night, they're like, the remainder of the events have been suspended, well-being of the competitors, and now it's they're back at it.
Yeah, it's just, now, it's awful.
I guess from their standpoint, like if somebody died, we're watching water polo right now, like if somebody died at the Olympics, they canceling the Olympics, the rest of the Olympics. I don't know that they are. They put so much into it. Everybody's there. I don't know that they are. I don't know what, there's no right thing that they can do. If they cancel it, then, I mean, it's still a money-making operation, and, like, everybody's already there.
I guess the thought would be postpone more than a day. Like, it literally happened yesterday.
Right. Postpone till...
Like, just, I think it's a little... I think the where it seems a little cold is the idea of, oh, somebody just died. Hey, y'all take the rest of the afternoon off, but, you know, be back here tomorrow.
These competitors, like, yeah, because these competitors... CrossFit's a very small family. Like, they all know each other. Like, now you're having to go out there and compete when somebody that you knew probably quite well just drowned.
Yeah. Now, 682 says they talked to the family and the family told them they wanted them to continue.
Okay.
So, I mean, if that's the case, then, I mean, I guess it's hard to point that. Now, somebody else points out 817, when Owen Hart died in the ring, they didn't stop the rest of the wrestling matches. Absolutely. It's funny enough. I was just reading about that yesterday.
Yeah, do you really want to follow the...
Well, and that was the thing. I was reading about it yesterday. Coincidentally enough, I was reading about the Owen Hart death, and they had that, like, that was a massive controversy too at the time, but they got crushed for keeping that, like, continue the pay-per-view event. They got absolutely destroyed for it.
Did everybody know that he had died at the moment?
No, but Jim Ross announced it in the middle of the pay-per-view event.
Oh god.
And they kept going because he died at the hospital, I think, or he'd either died at the hospital or was pronounced dead at the hospital, but I don't remember which one it was, but it was announced by Jim Ross in the middle of the event that he had died. So that's a little much.
It is. It's a little much.
All right, let's go to something a little more lighthearted, Chop, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to go to an airline that is against you.
Against me?
Yep, you specifically.
Why? Do they fly Boeing?
No. An airline, this is thought to be, CNBC wrote about this. This is thought to be a test run. That's something you could see other airlines in the U.S. and elsewhere pick this up. An airline is now allowing women to avoid sitting next to men. So India's biggest budget airline, IndiGo, has been... I like that. That's funny.
IndiGo.
That's good. Has been trialing a booking feature that will allow women to avoid booking a seat next to men on flights. The feature, the first of its kind for an airline, works by showing female travelers a pink seat at the seat selection page if it will be occupied by a female passenger. A company representative told CNBC Travel. Male travelers, however, will not see this information, the company said. Travelers on IndiGo must identify their genders when they purchase tickets, which allows the airline to control access to these details, according to IndiGo. So the carrier began rolling this out in May on a pilot basis and is available on all flights, the company said. However, IndiGo's website and mobile app did not show the feature when CNBC did a check for it. That may also, they note, be related to, like, trying to book from the U.S. and other things that may have just been an issue there. But they say that the new feature has received positive individual reactions on social media. The IndiGo's CEO told CNBC last week. Your thoughts on this? Because I think I understand comfort, people wanting to feel secure, everything else. It's an airplane. Like, I mean, I don't see how if they started rolling this out on airlines in the U.S., I think I would just not use that airline.
Well, you might not have a choice. Like, if they all do it, right? If they all decide to do it.
Yeah, they're all to do it. Sure. Yeah. At that point, I don't have a choice. But if I've got choice, if there's a free market selection here, I'm going to pick somewhere else.
So, I mean, it doesn't affect me necessarily, so I don't really care.
I just hate this default thought that's been propagating
that we're all just
society
predators
in the last several years. Yeah, like, if you're a man, you are a constant threat.
Oh, Bobby,
like, I don't love it.
Hey, what do you think of that one?
I was talking to Broadus. Sorry.
He's not listening. Yeah. Good gosh. Oh,
yeah. Thanks, Payton. Again, 6:40 yesterday. It's past 6:40 on Thursday. But no, I, the word you used, I hate the idea that there's an assumption that every man is a predator. That is essentially what this gets to. Now, I understand there's some people who are going to naturally be comfortable about, man, I'd rather not. I don't want to sit next to somebody. All right, fine. Maybe you ask to have your seat moved if somebody in particular is making you uncomfortable or there's any of this. But to me, this, we need to create as a priority. There are so many other things that I feel like the airline industry could be doing to better themselves, namely keeping their planes in the air. I think that's a big one right there.
That's a big one. I do agree.
Or just deplaning or anything else to make as a priority. Well, let's make sure that men are, you know, women can make sure that they're kept away from men.
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. It's just, what if I'm flying with, what if we're flying with our spouses? Well, you get to see then. Because to me, like, my number one thing on the airplane, I don't care if I sit next to a guy or a girl. I don't care. All I care about is, so when we were flying back from California, the three of us in the row were all dudes. And we were all, like, pretty broad-shouldered. So there's no room. All I care about, I don't care who I sit next to. I just want to sit next to somebody that is relatively skinny. Like, lean. Like, small shoulders. Like, somebody who, like, is not going to...
Sure.
It's not going to be an intrusive three-way that we have in the seats, right? It's not going to be, like, overbearing. Right? That's what I want. I would love for Alec Bedford or Carter to sit between me and some other guy, like, right? Somebody like that's very lean,
yeah,
skinny,
mm-hmm,
not broad-shouldered, right? That's what I want. I don't care if it's a girl or a guy. I don't care. And
so
by
what
the way,
you're saying is you should have to enter your weight.
You should have to enter
your weight, and then you can pick.
Measure your shoulders. You got to measure your shoulders. That's what I want. Measure your shoulder. How wide are they? That's all I care about. Other than that, like, I'm not. And by the way, if a guy's talking to a girl, it doesn't mean I'm hitting on you. I could just be engaging in conversation because I like to talk to people.
Yeah.
Like, Sean loves to talk on the airplane. I don't talk on the airplane.
Now, as a lot of people are pointing out on the fan text, India specifically deals with a lot of sexual harassment issues.
Does it?
That's what they say. And so, I mean, I haven't looked up, but they're saying the statistics are rather staggering. And to me, it's like, okay, well, and that's...
Different story. It changes the game.
It's a different context and everything else, and that's good. But also... Is that just the, like, I feel like, shouldn't there be more enforcement on the planes, like, to make sure, like, women are being kept safe rather than just, oh, you can move your seat over here? Like, I don't know. I mean, Chop, would you like to read Derek Holland's text to us all on the air, or should
Let's
we not read that
here.
One?
How'd you know he was going with that one? How did you know?
Because I follow him on Instagram.
How did you know? Bobby, what's coming up next to Below the Belt?
Brian Broaddus recaps.
Broaddus.
Cowboys, Rams, joint practice. All the CD news we haven't even been able to get to the joint practice. Brian Broaddus is going to have an update for us. That's next in Below
the Belt
on The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
We did have football yesterday.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't all just, you know, social media drama. We had football.
We did, man. Tennessee quarterbacks were all over the place in the NFL.
Stop it.
It was fantastic.
Stop it.
Hendon Hooker. Joe Milton. Joe Milton's QB1. Yeah, I don't care. He's QB1.
Let's talk about real football, not preseason football.
Isn't it amazing, though, that Joe Milton's going to wind up having a better NFL career than college? Just like Tom Brady.
Yeah, okay. Let's slow down with those comparisons. Brian Broaddus joins us live from the Oxnard Tennis Courts where the Rams and the Cowboys had a joint practice. Brian, we will get into the practice, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the biggest headline of the day. Your thoughts on the CeeDee Lamb drama, the Jerry comments, how CeeDee reacted to it. Do you think stuff is getting lost in translation at all? What's your take on what we've seen the last 12 to 15 hours?
Man, it was kind of a shock, to be honest with you. You know, we were sitting down kind of finishing up our show on the G-Bag Nation yesterday, and I was going through the practice and what I saw, and, you know, it was just kind of all of a sudden, then I, you know, get a tweet from John Machota, and next thing you know, it seems like, oh, geez, what's going on here kind of a thing. But, yeah, the Cowboys appear to be very dug in on this. And, well, I take it back. The owner appears to be very dug in on this. And, you know, and the owner is, you know, he's looking at this and he's thinking that, you know, he's got these players. They're all three potentially. When you look at Dak and CD and then Micah Parsons potentially, you know, he could be paying three guys top of the market money. And, you know, he's kind of looking at that as, okay, that's a daunting task. I got to figure it out. But also holding a, you know, holding a hard line on the way these contracts are going. I believe, you know, whether the fans don't think he's doing the right thing here. You got to take care of your players, you know. But the Heat is like, listen, I've got to think about this cap today. I got to think about it in the future. And, you know, him taking this type of stance, you know, this is the way that the, you know, the Joneses, if you, you know, follow them in business, they negotiate very hard. And so I think that's where we're at right now. I'm not surprised he said what he said, because I thought this thing was going to be about 10 days. It's going well into that. And they very well can make CeeDee Lamb have to make a decision whether to give up $1 million a week sitting out of NFL games. And, you know, it looks like they're heading in that direction.
You think the fans really are more on CeeDee's side than?
Yeah, I do.
Because I'm on more on CeeDee's side, but isn't that counter to most where the fans are like,
no, I don't think
save
so.
Money? They're always team play.
Yeah, the fan base here has had enough of this front office. They've had enough, and it's very evident of that you know they want changes. They're not going to get changes, but they've had enough. They've had enough of the way that Jerry and Steven operate. They just do, and they, you know, and it's very, very clear that. You know, that's the case. If you just kind of follow along, and I'm not just talking about attendance out here, but I know, you know, we talk about it every day on our show. We ask the fans, hey, the Tolos, hey, yes or no, are you in or out? You know, 70%, no, we're out, you know. And I think the loss to Green Bay really hurt a lot of Cowboy fans. And they're to the point now where they're like, you know, hey, anything that's probably against Jerry and Steven and this crew, they're on board with. You know, they're going to side with Dak. They're going to side. Now, there's people with Dak, I should say that. There are people that don't want Dak as the quarterback here anymore. But there's a lot of people that believe that Dak deserves the $60 million a year. Statistically, it's proven he should get that money. I mean, there are lesser quarterbacks making more money than him. You know, so that have gotten to that, you know, that – at, you know, high 55 range. So I just feel like, to me, the fan base is in that mode right now where if it's anything against Jerry and Steven, they're on board with that.
Brian, this practice itself, the actual football that took place yesterday in this joint practice with the Rams, obviously you had eyes on it. We were not in attendance for it ourselves. But I know, just looking at some of the feedback that was out there, some of the discussion points that came out of there, sounds like Jalen Tolbert, maybe a little bit of an up and down day. He's somebody who has checked every box along the way, so this was kind of like the final one, it felt like, maybe before the season. In general, what did you think of Tolbert, how he practiced yesterday, and specifically how the offense was moving the ball in some of these team periods?
I was with the offense early. There were two fields that they were practicing on, and I went to the offense early, and the running game actually showed up early in this practice. When you look at and I know you asked about Tolbert, but I'll tell you about the offense from what I saw in general. Brandon Cooks was, I thought, outstanding in the periods that I watched, where they were running these deep crossing routes, and Dak was able to step up in the pocket, and here's Cooks just flying across the middle of the field, and, you know, Dak hitting him on the move, and the Rams in chase mode. Happened a couple of different times. They were running their waggle packages where they moved the pocket, and Jake Ferguson was open quite a bit. The Rams really didn't have an answer for him on that way. Dallas ran the ball both with Zeke and then also, though, with Rico Dowdle a couple of different times where there were some massive holes, and it mainly came off the left side of the Cowboy offensive line. And at the time, when I was watching, it was Chuma Adoga, and I understand that Chuma Adoga got nicked up late in the practice or in the practice and then had to step aside. But Adoga, Smith, Hoffman got the job done running the football over there. So that part of it was really, really positive. Then I went over to the defensive side of the field. I think you're going to give me a different question on that. So my Tolbert, I'm going to have an opportunity to kind of go back and check out some things. I'll look at the Tolbert thing. But I went from, like I said, I went from the offensive early in the practice to the defense then later in the practice.
We saw some pretty viral clips yesterday of the one-on-ones with the defensive line versus the offensive line, and there was a lot of positive stuff, it looked like, of, you know, positive reps with Mozzie Smith winning and some of the things. So it looked like it was a good practice for him. You know, during, if you got a chance to see individual or team or whatever it was, how did Mozzie look progressing going up against guys who are, you know, going up against another team, and specifically going up against guys who are not all pros necessarily the same of the same level of Zach Martin and Tyler Smith?
You're absolutely right. The clips of Mozzie and the one-on-one stuff were very, very good. Now, when they went to the team stuff, I felt like that Rodgers was a little bit better than Mozzie when it came. I think Mozzie got a little tired, and they put him out there for, you know, 6-7 plays in a row, and his stance wasn't as good. His take-on wasn't as good. He didn't get off on the blocks as good as he needed to. The thing with Mozzie Smith is we always talk about his consistency. He could look like a first-round player like he did in the one-on-one stuff, but then, you know, he's got to fight through that, you know, he's got to bring that type of energy, that kind of effort from the one-on-one pass rush drill to where he was playing on defense. And they ran the ball inside on the Cowboys a little bit. The linebackers had to fight some blocks and, you know, get off and make some plays. But they just need more consistency from Mozzie. That's just what he shows. He's one of those guys that, to me, that he plays very, very well, very capable. You know, there's a reason why they picked him in the first round. He shows flashes of the ability to make plays, get off blocks, get up the field. You know, he's just not consistent at that right now. And whether he struggles with his conditioning, and, you know, people will say, well, you know, Brian, he really didn't have an opportunity because he was coming off, you know, the shoulder injury, and he was trying to rehab and all this, that, and the other. But, you know, they're going to need Mozzie Smith to play. If this defense is going to be good, they are going to need their defensive tackles to play well this season. And Mozzie Smith is part of that. And like I said, it's good to see him have some success. He just needs to find a way to be more consistent with it.
Did it get chippy at all? Was there anywhere close to a fracas?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was funny. I was watching the I flipped back over. I was doing, like I say, went offense, defense, and then kind of circled back to the offense late. And it was it was surprising that the one offense was a little bit, you know, they had a couple of times where you could hear the crowd go, oh, and they were starting to whoop and holler and all that. And then it kind of broke up. If you're out here fighting during a scrimmage, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's you know, everybody's hot, they're tired, you know. I mean, like, you could see where, you know, attitudes change during a practice. But, yeah, and you're just wasting energy if you're out here fighting. But it never came into a full-on where we've scrimmaged the Rams out here with that coach Jeff Fisher, and every other play was a fight. Yesterday was a lot of really good work and not so much fighting.
Dak Prescott overall, solid practice from what you saw. I know there were a couple of really impressive throws that I saw in team period. Some of the videos that were out there shared. It looked like he was kind of on one yesterday.
No, he was. And I mentioned the throws to Cooks and the waggles, the boots, you know, the accuracy, the touch that he was able to throw. You know, yeah, it was. Dak's been good this entire camp. He really has. There's, you know, the one interception he had, you know, was just a really good play by Jordan Lewis. But when they get down in the red zone, he's done a good job of finding open receivers. His ability to climb the pocket, the mobility that he has, the decision making that he's made has been really, really good. So it would be hard pressed to find practices where Dak has just been really, really off. I think the majority of them have been very, very good.
11:15 today, Brian.
11:15 today. Sounds good to me.
Let's do it. We'll dive into all the specifics of Cowboys-Rams practice, the CD stuff, and all your questions as well. Brian brought us an absolute trooper joining us all week here during Below the Belt. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, guys.
Brian brought us Below
the Belt.
The Belt here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's recap the Rangers' trip to the White House next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.